Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Suck up trying to win it. Got it.
They finally have a kicker in Tampa Bay. How about Tom Brady? How about Dak Prescott? This is sick. What a game.
Two guys throwing for almost 800 yards.
Whoever had the ball last was going to win.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
A good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Aaron, you're on the bench. We got a good show for you this morning. Greg Cosell is going to join us in a half hour to talk about all things NFL this weekend. He breaks down the tape. We'll get a lot of good thoughts on what happened last night in that football. A good football game. Great game to start the season. That was a lot of fun. And came down to the last possession, like Chris Collinsworth said. I highly underrated Chris Collinsworth. I think he's really, really good. Tony the Hatchet Man, Valentine, is going to join us in an hour and a half right here on ESPN 97.5. And Dale Ole is going to join us as well to talk some college football.
He's a college expert from Respect My Decision. It's a podcast. It's lightly listened to, but it's informative and has some interesting stuff on it.
Interesting is a that I'm not sure about that word, but okay. You got different words you could use, but okay. So Dale will make his debut on our show at 9:30 this morning. So you want to be here for that on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Last night the Astros off, so they had the Astros Wives Gala. Did you go to the gala last night?
No, I was unable to get to the gala.
You didn't go to the gala?
Yeah, I'm just assuming that somewhere Abraham Toro stole somebody's wife or did something with someone's loved one in a bathroom somewhere.
Oh.
Because he's been doing things to the Astros ever since the trade. He's held an incredible grudge against the team.
Can't blame
him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he showed up and, slashed a tire, something like that, out in the parking lot. Best case scenario, just slashed a tire.
A's won. They're 5.5. They are tied with the Mariners now, 5.5 games behind the Astros. The Astros now have a game and a half lead on the White Sox as they've lost 2 in a row. So that is really, really good news. They lost to the Athletics. And that's something that you wanted. You hate to see the A's win, but as long as it's against the White Sox, you're fighting for that home field advantage. So the Astros now with a game and a half lead over the White Sox for a home field advantage in the divisional round, while the Rays have pretty much secured with their 88-52 record. Just unbelievable how good that baseball team is. 88-52. That is really, really good. 36 games over 500. They have a big 9-game lead over the Red Sox. The Red Sox now with the lead as far as the wild card goes, and the Yankees fallen by the wayside, but they still are 78-52 and 16 games over 500. But they just have a 2-game lead now on the Mariners and the A's, and just that's it. Mariners and A's are in second. In third. And right on the Yankees' tail. So that's your baseball update. Last night we had the big game between the Bucks and the Cowboys, and mentioned it was a good game. Did you think Godwin pushed off?
I did personally. I thought it was an arm extension.
I don't know. When you look at it right there, I don't. No, the guy just the DB just fell down.
But the arm's extended.
But not, he didn't really push him.
He extend the arm that gets called all the time.
I thought it was an acting job. I thought it was a flop. I thought he flopped. And you know what? He didn't get away with it. And the Buccaneers won.
All right, Buccaneer Johnny.
I just can't root ever for the Cowboys.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, you aren't the only guy who didn't think it. For those who missed it, a big catch by Chris Godwin set up the game-winning field goal by Ryan Succop after Dallas had taken a lead on a Greg Zuerlein field goal, one of the ones he made. And interestingly enough, while a lot of people thought it was a pass interference, including Terry McCauley, who is their rules expert, the former referee thought that was an offensive pass interference. It was actually Mike McCarthy, the Cowboys head coach, who had a little different sentiment.
I didn't have a good look at it. I mean, it's football. I think when it comes down to tight plays in a game, if it's ticky-tack, I think you're better, you know. I would have taken a call. You know, I wouldn't ask them to pick the flag up. But, you know, I think, holding penalties and things in clutch time, I think it has to be a real foul there, you know. So I didn't see it, to answer your question.
Look at that hardcore blue-collar Pennsylvania accent of his. But it was basically what he's saying is, let him play. He's basically, that's his, and that just means that's how he rolls 24/7 is. If it gets late in the game, it's got to be a for sure penalty to count. Kind of like the NBA, you know, once the playoffs hit, no ticky-tack fouls last minute. You don't want those in the paint.
No.
You got to earn it. But I definitely thought it could have been called. I think any time that you see arm extended and a guy fall and a guy make a catch, that gets called very, very frequently. And it was called in that particular case, and they got the Tampa Bay Bucks in position to kick the game-winning field goal, and they did. But I'll tell you something else. To me, one of the big stories of that game was Dak Prescott. And Bruce Arians, head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks, I think he was as impressed as we were.
I've known Dak a long time and have so much respect for him as a person and a man. And, you know, what he did at Mississippi State was legendary. And he's just a tremendous football player, a tremendous leader. You know, it's a shame he had to play Brady.
Yeah, shame he had to play Brady. But so, you know, Dallas, this is one of the first times in Dallas history, they've lost a game after going +3 in a takeaway category. They finished +3 and still lost. And that kind of tells you, you know, Dallas was certainly playing with Tampa, but Tampa, they fumbled one going in. Chris Godwin did. I mean, there was, if they played again, they could have some issues. I mean, I want to make sure and keep it in context. They got some help from some turnovers. With that said, Dak was sharp, man. Dak looked really good yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought he looked really good. CeeDee Lamb has taken a big step forward.
He did.
Amari Cooper looked good. That is a super explosive offense.
Yeah. CeeDee Lamb also had his drop, which was an interception for the Bucs.
It would have been
in his arms.
I mean, it would have been a catch ball into the teeth of it was really a corner, but you would think it was a safety who's going to smack him. I can tell you his concentration, I think, was a little bothered by the fact that he knew he was headed right into traffic.
Yeah, he was in traffic, no question, but he had both. I mean, it hit him right. I mean, it couldn't have been a better throw into traffic.
An unbelievable throw between three defenders.
Back in the day, he would have gotten his head taken off.
Oh, yeah.
But today's game, it's, you know, easier to catch balls in traffic, and he just made it. He dropped it, and it directly led to an interception.
He had one early, too.
And he looks, but man, they used him well at the end. He's a player. And Amari Cooper looked pretty damn good, too.
I thought Amari did. Michael Gallup had his moments. Like, it was almost like on both sides of the ball, all the different weapons other than Mike Evans, they all had their time where at first, you know, there was an Amari Cooper time. There was a CeeDee Lamb time, although Lamb's kind of extended throughout the game. There was a time where all of a sudden Michael Gallup was the one that they were using, and he got hot. And on the other side, Tampa Bay, man, Antonio Brown looked unbelievable. And Gronk looked just like regular old Gronk.
Yeah.
And then Chris Godwin had his moments where he played well, and then, you know, he had other moments where he had some mistakes, including that fumble going into the, you know, near the end zone. But I thought one of the big takeaways for me personally, the two biggest were, oh my gosh, does Tom Brady have a new Wes Welker and Antonio Brown? Because Antonio, he was a factor last year, but you know, you didn't quite get the feeling he was the same Antonio Brown. After last night, oh, he looked like the same exact Antonio Brown, one that is going to have defenses in a lot of trouble because he was really picking on Anthony Brown, the lesser cornerback that the Cowboys put out there. I mean, he's not a very good corner, and Antonio Brown was really picking on him. But I thought the thing that stood out the most to me, and I'm interested to see what you think, and they kind of brought it up a little bit on the broadcast. In all my years watching Tom Brady, which is 20, I have never seen him throw with that much velocity on the football. He's in his 40s now, and he was I kept going back. You know, this is something I really hyper-focus on, watching quarterbacks on tape all the time. You look for a way that the ball doesn't get off the ground very high. Do they throw it? Do they have to throw it with a little trajectory and no trajectory? Tom Brady was throwing seam throws. He was lighting up the linebackers with pinpoint precision. But the thing that really got me is his weight transfer and his twitch in his lower half. He has worked on that for years and this is the same. He works at it the same place Joe Burrow started working at it, because Joe Burrow is trying to improve his velocity. And watching Tom Brady over the years, this is why I don't rule out the fact that a guy can pick up more velocity as a passer. Because Tom Brady right now in his 40s is throwing with the same level of velocity, with a better level of velocity, his release, and then the amount of drive velocity he was able to put on balls. It's better than most 20-something quarterbacks in the league right now. And that used to not be a strength of his.
Well, in fairness, his last year in New England, he looked bad.
Yeah.
It was in large part because he had nobody. Oh, now he's got Godwin. Look at Gronk. Look at Antonio Brown.
Even guys were barely open.
Mike Evans.
He was making passes to guys who barely, like.
He's rejuvenated. I don't think there's any question about it.
I've never seen anything like him. Yeah. Like, his face, he doesn't look like he's aged. Mm-mm. He somehow magically grew more hair in the middle of his career.
Oh, like Drew Brees.
He's with, exactly. We'll get to that in a little bit. He's got a supermodel, and he's got supermodel blood that maybe he, you know, ingests. I don't know. He's got a supermodel wife. He has tweaked his release and his mechanics over the years to fine-tune it, to get it perfectly. We know his diet is legendary, what he does. Like, he is an example of an average schlub coming out of college. There's never been a more perfect picture than his combine picture. Never been a more perfect picture than the schlubby combine picture. And now when you see
Mac Jones's.
Yeah, well, Mac's up there, but it's not even better than Tom's.
No.
Tom's like hanging his shoulders.
Yeah.
I mean, at least Mac Jones has a cigar after a championship.
But he's
Tom
got
Brady
that
barely played.
Gut.
Tom Brady barely played.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady now has developed himself. He's like fine-tuned his face, fine-tuned his release. He's like, okay, I can tighten the release up a little bit. Okay, I can tighten up the velocity. He's worked on every little thing.
Well,
and now here he is in his 40s, and he doesn't look any different than when he was in his prime.
And that's the amazing part, is that he has still the want to. You know, a lot of guys say, I just can't do it every offseason. I just don't have the energy that I had before. I just don't have the want, you know, the drive. And he still got it. He's unbelievable. 44 years old, 22 years in the league. And he looked like that last night. Holy crap. He's throwing missiles. Just perfect spirals. Unbelievable.
They took a picture, and they put them together. Mac Jones and Tom Brady. It says, the next Tom Brady? Question mark?
All right. We got to take a break. Bradley Roby. The details came out yesterday of the Bradley Roby trade. We got that. And then what's going on with the Ravens? Holy crap. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about. Just getting it started. Greg Cosell joins us at the bottom of the hour. But right now, we are talking about mybookie.ag, and the promo code is bet975. I added to mine yesterday. I added to it yesterday so that I could pick up. And I am a current client of mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. And I added to it, and I am getting more free plays. It's going to match even though I'm a current client, they're going to match my deposit that I put in yesterday because I deposited with the promo code Bet975. So here's the deal. If you're looking to play and you're a new user, put up to $1,000, you put money in and they will match that. So you have $2,000 to play with. If you you were on mybookie.ag promo code Bet975 before you put money in, they will match it. If you are currently a client of MyBookie, they will match it. That's how good it is. Get there now. MyBookie.ag, promo code Bet975.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys. Cards for Kids is doing their part to help someone's dreams come true. And their dream may be just to get through high school. Giving somebody a second chance at the high school education is something that Houston Khan Academy is partnering with Cars for Kids to do. And what Cars for Kids does is they'll come out and they'll pick up your car, your truck, your SUV, your motorcycle, whether it's running or it's not running, it doesn't matter. They'll come out and haul it off. So for you, you got a chance to get rid of that vehicle that's not even running. If your vehicle is running, you say, you know what, I'm not going to get anything for this in terms of a sale. It's got hundreds of thousands of miles on it. It needs work. Well, this is a great opportunity for you to donate that car. You're doing something great. It's going to go towards funding a kid's second opportunity at an education. And the great thing is they give you a tax write-off. So you get a chance to write off the car and not the kid. Get that tax write-off. Get the $50 gift certificate, Visa gift card, when you mention ESPN 97.5. And that's all when you get a hold of carsforkids.org.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, it was a little disheartening to hear that the Texans were paying $7 million of Bradley Roby's contract.
Yeah, because this is what they do.
Because this is what they do. They don't get anything back for it. So they didn't get anything back for Jadeveon Clowney when they paid his contract. It was so disheartening. You get a third round. It's just so terrible. But now when we find out that they get a third rounder for Bradley Roby and they get a conditional pick in 2023, and we don't know what that conditional pick is, but we would imagine probably going to depend on how many starts he makes. I'm not nearly as disheartened as I was. Listen, they're buying a third rounder, basically.
Yeah.
Because Bradley Roby wouldn't have attracted a third rounder.
Well, the third rounder, I think he would have maybe got a fourth. I mean, well, the Saints are pretty desperate right now.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they couldn't have made this happen cap-wise. He had to have a low base salary. The only way they can make this happen is, so I think what happened was the Saints, basically, because the Texans took on more money. When you take on more money, if somebody has a lot of money left on a contract, obviously that hurts compensation. But in this case, the opposite was the case. He had very little base salary, and so the compensation went to third round, and they're going to get a future pick as well. We'll find out at some point what that draft pick is going to be. It's a conditional draft pick. It'll probably, because it's conditional, you know, hopefully it comes out today that it's this round, but then if he plays a certain, or if they get into the playoffs or whatever the case may be, then it gets to this draft pick. Hopefully it's not conditional. Sometime is a late round pick. So I'm hoping they get something more for it, but it doesn't hurt their cap space.
Well, if they pick up a third next year and a fifth in 2023.
That would be worth it.
That'd be fine.
Yeah, that would be worth it. Third and sixth, third and seventh. It's not as good, but you get
especially
rid of a guy
for $7 million.
You get rid of a guy. I don't think you really want him in the locker room.
Yeah, and you wanted him out of there for culture purposes. But you also, you also had the cap room, and you spend it now to get something later.
A third is the top 100 pick, yeah. So you're going to get a top 100 pick in addition to.
And now they've got three. Now they've got three because they've
three
got their own.
Next year.
They've got the Saints. And they've got the one for the Atlanta executive, right?
No. The Saints did.
Oh, the Saints.
Yeah, the Saints had the extra third. Yeah, because their executive got Terry Fontenot got hired by.
Oh, I got you.
He's black executive, so he was hired by Atlanta, so you get a third. Remember?
Oh yeah.
Texans don't have anyone in position to be hired. Oh, wait a minute. Oh yeah, but the team doesn't have to. It's the league gives it to you. So the league. So the Ravens, for example,
are going to get
one for David Culley.
Right.
They're going to get a late third for David Culley as well. So.
And they got rid of a junkie. Yeah.
So
I'm gonna tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
It's I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that move. They got a third, which is what we thought they needed to get, and then because you gave up $7 million, you got an extra pick coming. So hopefully it's a 3-5. I'd be okay with a 3-5.
Yeah.
It'd be even better if it's a 3-4. I'd be even better.
Third and a fourth. 3-4 is better.
But you get third, so that's a good starting point. Hopefully he won't package picks up like this last draft. Nick Caserio, package him up and move up for a fifth-round linebacker. You know, keep moving picks for Nico Collins. Move. He shifted and traded a bunch of draft picks for Nico Collins and Garrett Wallow. Like, I hope he maneuvers, Nick Caserio maneuvers around better inside the draft with draft picks next year. I'd like to see him add more draft picks.
I'm not a draft expert.
I know.
Somebody just, Reginald Palmer just sent us a video of Tom Brady working with Tom House. Tom House put out a video working with him and working that hip as he's throwing, really, really busting that hip open as he's throwing.
Tom House.
Hey, that's a golf move. That's a pitching move. That's a quarterback move. It's a
baseball move.
It's
a big-time baseball hitting
move.
So Tom House has become – it's Tom House and John Beck, the former quarterback out of BYU. It's those that's who went – that's why San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan, they made their decision to go with Trey Lance on the strength of John Beck's recommendation. But Tom House and John Beck work together, and House works on a variety of technique stuff that have baseball baked inside of them. And John Beck, they have technology that weights, you know, how much force you're generating from your lower body. I read a great article in The Athletic about it, about Joe Burrow going to this place. Tom has worked for years to fine-tune every aspect. This is why he is maybe the GOAT of every sport of all time. Because not only does he have durability, not only does he have championships, not only does he have productivity, he has gone out of his way to take care of himself physically and to fine-tune his game. Even in his 40s, in every decade, he continues to add to elements. If he says, okay, your release is an A, all right, I want to make it an A+. What can I do to make my release even better? His maniacal obsession with being perfect is why he is where he is. I mean, that's just the case. And I was comparing him. I told my wife, we were talking about it a little bit, and I was comparing to Jordan. I said, you know, maybe even more so than Jordan, Tom. I said, I can't dislike. She said, don't we kind of want to see Tom Brady? Because she grew up a Cowboys fan. I don't think she really cares anymore. But even after the Cowboys scored and took over in the game or took the lead with a minute 20, 22 left, she said, you know, it's one of those things where you almost kind of want to see Tom Brady go down and get a touchdown. And I know there are a lot of people who hate Tom Brady or whatever, but I think there's a lot of us who have just so much respect for Tom Brady. And at some point, once a guy gets so advanced in age and he gets so old and he's still doing it, your dislike just turns to wonder. Yeah. Like, it's like, I can't even dislike this anymore. And I never disliked Jordan, and I just don't dislike Tom Brady. I just have an immense amount of respect for what he has done as an athlete, and it was astonishing, but not surprising that he went. Astonishing would be surprised, but it's not surprising that he went down the field and took them down there and got a
chance. I mean, 129 left. You knew Tom Brady was going to take
happen.
Him
yeah. I mean, you knew it was going to happen. And Gronk's making plays
before Greg Cosell gets here. Holy crap! Two more Ravens go down. Gus Edwards, who was taking the place of J.K. Dobbins, and they've already lost Justice Hill. That's the third running back now that they've lost, and they lost Marcus Peters yesterday.
Yeah, their top cornerback. So their first three running backs, and I bet they wish they had Mark Ingram back now. their first three running backs and their top cornerback all out with ACL tears.
Wouldn't be a bad
Texans
trade.
Move a running back over there?
Texas, they've got five. Why not trade? Why not trade Johnson? Ingram back to him for?
What about David Johnson? You think they have a little?
Well, but Ingram can walk in there and play today.
I know. Moving Ingram back for? I mean, what difference? I like Ingram. What difference does it make? They give you a fifth for him. Would you take a fifth for Ingram?
I'd force him to give me a fourth, at least a fourth. They're desperate. They got Le'Veon Bell.
But here's the thing. They can get somebody else. The Ingram thing
that knows the system like he does.
Not knows the system. And that's the advantage.
Yeah. And he's still got there's still something left in that tank. That's for sure.
No, right. There is. So he got $3 million. A one-year $3 million deal, a $500,000 signing bonus. Yeah. I would. You know what? If you could get a fourth for Mark Ingram.
Do it.
My guess is.
Do it now.
If you could say it's a fifth that can escalate to a fourth. I would do that deal.
Absolutely.
What's the problem? You got Buddy Howe. You got so many running backs you can go to. It doesn't matter.
Well, he's instrumental and is a key to the Texans' success this year. Mark Ingram, F out of here. Trade him. 7:27. Greg Cosell is going to join us next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're going to get some information. Greg Cosell, smart dude. Chastain Ford. These people are smart too. I love them. Everybody over there, the Chastains have been doing this for 80 plus years in the city of Houston. It's 84 now or something that they've been selling cars here, and they're the number one commercial Ford dealer in the city of Houston. And you get that because you got reputation, because you got knowledge, because you got integrity, because people trust you, because at the bottom line is the bottom line, and businesses want to get that. They want to get exactly what they want at the price they want it at with the service that they can count on. And you know what? That's everything at Chastain Ford. They are going to put you in, and they're going to do exactly what they say, and they're going to work the deal as hard as they can, and they're going to get you the best service that you can possibly have as well. You're looking for that Ford car or truck. They do this on the retail side, too. You don't have to own a business to get that kind of deal and that kind of service from Chastain Ford. Customize your vehicle today at ChastainFord.com. You can do everything online where you can't at other dealerships, or you can go to the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Go see my friends at Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Hey, UnderdogFantasy.com. I've been telling you about it for a couple months now. I've been involved with that baseball, with basketball, and yesterday was the first football action. And I just played a little $3 action on a three-man tournament. The winner got $8, and I was the winner. And it was a draft, and all of the stuff they do is not salary cap based, it's draft based, which to me is a lot of fun, because you had your opinions. I mean, I was high on CeeDee Lamb, so I made sure that I targeted him when my pick came around. It was a little earlier than what the projections were, but I jumped on him on the snake draft. It's just a 3-man draft, and these are things they have. They have $25 drafts, 4-person $3, 4-person $10. You can find small. You can find much higher drafts as well. You get up into the, you know, up into the $250 range, head-to-head matchups. There's so many different matchups, and it's whether it's daily fantasy or season-long, they've got you covered, but also the pick 'em contest. This is what I'm really into. Over-unders on yards, total yardage, strikeouts in baseball. You can intermingle the different sports, and it's a great way for you to make multipliers of whatever your action is. So if you've got five different players, and you pick the over-unders, and you hit them all, it pays 20 times what your original play is. 10 gives you 200. Make sure that you check them out for yourself at UnderdogFantasy.com. Use promo code RADIO and get a $25 cash bonus into your account when you make your first deposit. UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code RADIO.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bringing in Greg Cosell, who joins us every week, Friday morning, 7:30, right here on the show. Greg, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Okay, so we don't want to make this the Tom Brady show, but we've been talking about him the last couple of segments and what he looks like right now. And that game last night, how is he doing? We're talking about working with Tom House, talking about the velocity on his ball, throwing downfield, Greg. His last year in New England, he didn't look like this. He is something. He is unbelievable right now.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's funny. It leads to a discussion. I think we started talking about this last week, and it's a fascinating discussion because there's so many people, smart people, reasonable people who we would all respect, who believe now that in order to play quarterback at a high level in the National Football League, you need to be able to move around and make second reaction plays, make those improvisational plays. Well, Tom Brady has never been that guy. And Tom Brady is playing at an incredibly high level. And you can't just say, well, he's great, and flippantly throw that out and then act like, well, that answers the question. So, you know, how do people account for Tom Brady in the second breath if in the first breath they say that you have to be able to run around in order to make plays as a quarterback?
You and I watch a lot of tape on quarterbacks, me more college, you more pro. I was going back and rewatching throws yesterday, Greg, that Tom Brady was making. We'll get to Dak in a second, but I was rewatching throws, and I concluded that this might be the most velocity that he has had, and especially when you take into account how quickly he rips it out of there from a delivery standpoint.
From the
standpoint of he starts his throw and the velocity he uses on the drive throws in the seam, I'm not sure that maybe he's not throwing the ball harder than he ever has as a quarterback. Am I wrong on that?
Well, no. I think that his mechanics are really, really good. I mean, really good. And, I think when it starts there, it's repetitive mechanics. And the other factor with Brady, well, there's numerous factors. The ball location. Look at some of those throws that he made last night. The ball location is so precise. A lot of people like to use the word accuracy, but it's really about ball placement and ball location. And even though he can't get out of the pocket, Lance, he's so good in the pocket. He has tremendous movement within a confined space and just a feel for where people are without ever seeing the rush. He feels it. And his lower body does not break down. And that's critical because he throws the ball on balance. You know, with someone like Mahomes, everybody now talks about the need to throw off platform and to make trick shot throws. And look, if you can do that, and there are times maybe it does demand it, fine. But how come it doesn't demand it for Tom Brady? it's a legitimate question,
yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
You know, if everybody says, well, you have to be able to do that, well, how come it doesn't demand it for Tom Brady?
Well, everyone makes such a big deal about Zach Wilson. I was talking to somebody from the Jets the other day, and they said the throws he's making right now in camp. And I get you talk about trick shot throws, the Aaron Rodgers stuff, the off-platform stuff. But really, that's a great point because that's the thing that everyone goes, oh, my, did you just see that? But what they don't talk about is, did you just see that Tom Brady, his release is 0.33 seconds. It's perfectly balanced, allowing him to be accurate more. And the amount of time he's put in, and he's even late in his career, we started going to Tom House to tighten up the delivery even more. I mean, everyone wants to be like Aaron Rodgers, but really Tom Brady is the one that maybe you should aspire to even more so. But that's an old school approach, though. Greg, you know that. The on-platform throw is not the sexy throw anymore.
No. I mean,
it never was the sexy throw.
Yeah, that's where we've gotten to is that everybody is excited about Mahomes. And this is no knock on Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, what he's accomplished in his career up to this point has been absolutely phenomenal. And he has a certain unique ability. But I don't think, I know, that's not the way the position is taught. You know, when you talk to offensive coaches, well, they all say that, hey, it's nice to have a quarterback that can move, sure. But they don't think about and draft and evaluate quarterbacks based on their ability to extend plays. They analyze quarterbacks based on their ability to execute an offense.
Greg Cosell, senior producer, NFL Films, with us here on ESPN 97.5. Look, if you're a Cowboy fan today, you got to feel pretty good. There's a lot of positives last night, Greg.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I had watched. I've probably seen every Dak Prescott dropback in his NFL career, but this summer I watched all of his dropbacks again from last season in the 4.5 games. And I got to tell you guys, I was really, really impressed with Prescott. I think that his evolution and his development over his 4 years in the league has been nothing short of remarkable. Because, Lance, as you remember, when he came into the league as a fourth-round pick, there were legitimate concerns based on tape study. Now, again, I don't know Dak Prescott. I met him for 10 minutes the year he came out at the Combine, but I certainly wouldn't say I know him. So I can't speak to the character and the personality, which by all accounts is phenomenal. So I was just watching tape. And wouldn't you agree that there were legitimate concerns coming out of Mississippi State?
I thought I can remember him. His intermediate throws, he had ball placement issues on intermediate throws. He got too nervous when people are around his feet. He didn't play with as much poise. You know, in terms of his release and everything, I think he's tightened up his release. And we know that's, you know, kind of famous videos where that have gone viral with him. But that's another guy that's really worked at his craft. And Greg, he is a great example. I thought he would had a chance to be a very average starter at best, and he's far better than that. But to your point, it's because he's worked at it, and this is why we can't just give up on quarterbacks after the first 2 or 3 years. You just can't give up on guys.
It's the other reason, too, why coaching is so important. I had a great conversation with a quarterback coach in the league this summer, someone who's been in the league for quite some time as a quarterback coach and is very well respected. And we were talking about Prescott and the idea that his development has really been nothing short of remarkable. Because of where he came from and the concerns that people legitimately had based on studying his tape in college. And now, you know, you brought up a point, Lance, about being a little skittish in the pocket. He is really tough mentally and physically in the pocket. And that showed up when I watched his 4.5 games this summer. He stands there. He delivers. His mechanics do not break down. Now, he'll miss one here and there. And we saw that last night as well. He'll miss one here and there. You know, you wouldn't say that he's Drew Brees in terms of his precision placement, but he's gotten better in that regard. And there were some blitzes last night. He trusts his protection. He doesn't flinch. He stays in phase. He stays compact. He's really become a high-level quarterback. Now, I don't think you can throw it 60 times every week, but we'll see. They were certainly doing that last year as well.
Not when you're paying Zeke all that money. Holy cow.
Well, that's what we don't know. That's why week one's so fascinating, particularly for fantasy players, because we don't know if that was the approach they took last night because they just didn't feel they could run the ball, or if they believe that that's what their offense is going to be. Now, I don't think you're going to see 60 pass attempts every week, but who knows? You could see 45, 47 every week.
Speaking of fantasy, what do all these injuries at running back mean for Lamar Jackson? Is he able to put the team on his back, though, like we saw last night with those two guys? Or is this going to hurt Lamar?
Well, I'm going to give you my opinion, okay? And this is purely opinion. I personally believe they will change nothing. I believe that even though Lamar is great, their offense is built around him. The foundation of their offense is built on the running of Lamar Jackson. And I think that schematically they will change nothing unless a game demands it, unless all of a sudden they're down 20-3, obviously. But I think they will come out on Monday night and they will play exactly the same way from a schematic and tactical standpoint unless they're forced to play otherwise. I personally believe that Greg Roman feels that it's the schematics of his run game that make it work and not who is lined up in the backfield. And again, I'm giving you my opinion. I don't have this from a conversation with anyone, but that's what I firmly believe.
It's 7:42 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got Greg Cosell for another segment here. So we want you to stay with us right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, doesn't get any better. Let's take a quick one, and that's no jab at you, Lance.
Sitejab.com, sitejab.com. They're a company here in Houston, over 2 decades in the business. They've seen it all. They've seen all the advancements in website development. They've seen all the advancements in the analytics, and that's a big part of website development is understanding the analytics that come out so that they can take that. They understand what keeps people on sites longer, what they really like from a visual standpoint, and then how to keep you engaged in the site. And so that's why they have branding, logo management, that their logo creation that they do. They do video integration where they can help you film videos for your site. Look, your site needs to tell people about who you are, what you do. they need to be the it needs to be the best representation of your business and your opportunity to help others. And that's why, you know, SiteJab's out there trying to help you do exactly that. They can integrate e-commerce into your site so that you can convert those eyes into business leads right away. Go to SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
All right, time for me to talk about just a good time. A good time had by all. What is it? Next Friday. It's September 17th. Yeah, a week from today, we will be out at the Battleground Golf Course in Deer Park with the Dirty Birdie Charity Classic. And if you're looking to play, if you're looking to have a good time, it's presented by Decru de Rue and powered by Mac Vibe Services. You got great prizes. You got all the Carbach beer you can drink. Proceeds benefit the Elmina Shriners and Ronald McDonald House of Galveston and the American Heart Association. So they're trying to raise a bunch of money, all for good causes, and it's a good time. Trust me. It's Friday. You want to have a good time. You want to start the weekend with a... Well, you'll have a hangover on Saturday. I can almost guarantee it. Get a ride there and enjoy the Dirty Birdie Charity Classic. It's always, always, always fun. And you're going to eat. You're going to drink your fill. Trust me, it is a great time. So you're looking for something to do next Friday. Get more information at ESPN975.com. That's ESPN975.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, senior producer here, and he just knows football. So, Greg, going into this season, you're a Texan. If you're a Texan fan, what am I looking for? What would be some positives that I can take away from this NFL season?
Oh boy, that's a hard question. You know, obviously it's not a roster that's full of great talent. You know, I think they know that they're kind of starting over. That's the whole point. I think, unfortunately, the Deshaun Watson thing really is hanging over it, because if there was no issue there, you could at least say you've got a quarterback. But now you're kind of working around that. You know, I don't know what the expectation would be this season. I really don't. I think this season is just a way to try to compete. And beyond that, look, they play a team they could likely beat week one. I mean, who knows? You know, they certainly could win week one.
Probably the best chance they'll have.
No, John and I think the same thing. We think that the Texans definitely have a shot there. I think, you know, Lovie Smith, from an X's and O's standpoint, he's never been a big-time blitz-happy guy. This is not Todd Bowles, who, even though we didn't see as much of it late yesterday, but Lovie likes to get after you with four, and you know, we know that his coverages, he's pretty vanilla in terms of coverages. He'll mix some things up. But I'm curious if you think that's something, you know, a rookie quarterback in his first matchup, does Lovie have the type of defense that's liable to make a quarterback's head spin, or is that just not the case?
Well, I think every coach has that in his playbook. The question is whether he believes that week one that his players can execute that. Because as you know, look, every coach has multiple things in a playbook. They all have certain methodologies that everybody's familiar with. Is Lovie at his core a big pressure guy? No. He's a more of a selective pressure guy. I think he'd be concerned about his corners. I think it's a legitimate concern. I mean, right now, I would assume on the outside, particularly week one, you're going to have Mitchell and Hargreaves, right?
Yeah.
I think King will play in the slot. Or I know they signed Jimmy Moreland. I actually think he's a pretty good slot corner, but he just got there, so I don't know what the situation is with him. But at some point, you've got to play to your corners as well, because the other factor here is, if you just look at who they're playing right now, it's questionable as to whether they can generate a meaningful pass rush with their down four. And then Lovie will have a decision to make, because if you can't get there with four, if you can't speed up the quarterback, particularly a young quarterback making his first NFL start, then you've got to add five. And it becomes a numbers game. That's what football is anyway. It's a numbers game. Because if you add five, then you only have six in coverage, and that limits what your coverage concepts can be. So, you know, but you do need to speed up the quarterback, otherwise he just sits there. So, you know, he may not know the answer to that right now. A lot of times coaches, until you get to week one, they don't know exactly what they have until the real game starts.
I'm curious, looking at the slate of NFL games, there's some pretty intriguing matchups here. Pittsburgh, Buffalo.
Yep.
I know, you know, Buffalo's the hot team and everyone loves Buffalo. I'm curious if you think Pittsburgh has a shot there. And then the other one I want to ask you about is Arizona going on the road to Tennessee. When I looked at this schematically and some of the changes Arizona has made defensively up front, including Zaven Collins and J.J. Watt in the front seven, I think that may be a little trickier game for Tennessee than some people are looking at.
Yeah, the concern for them is their secondary. And then you get into the issue of the new coordinator, Todd Downing, who basically his background and his mentor was Scott Linehan, who was mostly an 11 personnel coach, meaning that you have one back, one tight end, and three wide. But Derrick Henry's done most of his work the last 2 years out of base personnel packages, whether it's been two tight, three tight, a fullback on the field. I think Arizona's defense will probably be at its best when they're in their base defense, because if they have to go nickel, I'm not even sure who the nickel's going to be at this point until we see it on Sunday. So we'll see what Todd Downing's approach is going to be. Will he go with more 11 personnel and try to attack with the pass? You can obviously still run Derrick Henry out of 11 personnel. They're not going to give up on Henry, but I think that's a real interesting element to that game, because the weakness of that Arizona defense is going to be at the corner position.
Yeah. Do they have the ability to stop? We were talking about this a little bit earlier, Arizona and Tennessee, that Arizona is built to maybe stop or slow Derrick Henry down. Do you believe that?
Well, I mean, look, they're going to play Zaven Collins, who's 260 pounds and moves like a man who's smaller. Isaiah Simmons, after sort of his learning curve last year, the second half of the season started to look a lot more comfortable. You're dealing with two guys who are in some ways athletic freaks. Certainly Simmons is, and Collins at 260 moves extremely well. So, you know, they've got big, strong guys in the middle of their defense, in their base defense. So, you would think that sets them up reasonably well to match up to Derrick Henry. So we'll see. But I'm curious, too, on the other side of the ball, because, you guys are in Texas. You know Cliff Kingsbury better than I do. But one thing I learned a long time ago from a veteran coach is coaches coach what they know. And Kingsbury grew up in the air raid. That's what he knows. I think in an ideal world, he'd like to line up with 10 personnel, one back and four wide. They've now got the horses to do that, and I think that's the way he would like to play. That doesn't mean he's going to do it 80% of the snaps, but I think that's what he would like a significant foundation to be.
Yeah, and, you know, I hearken back to an old matchup when John Gruden hit Pittsburgh Steelers with that, when he went four wide with Rich Gannon. The year Rich Gannon took off, they went to the Super Bowl. And everyone was blown away that you know, it was basically Pittsburgh just was mismatched on the field from a wide receiver cornerback standpoint. The more when you just said that really triggered something in me. Tennessee's the biggest concern for Tennessee is their secondary.
If you
put more of them on the field, that might be the advantage that Arizona needs.
And with a quarterback like Murray, mm-hmm. if he gets pressure, because he's so quick and dynamic as a runner, it wouldn't surprise me if they almost view his improvisational ability as almost a foundational piece. And it's an odd thing to say, because improvisation can be very random, but if you spread the field and he feels any kind of pressure and the field spread and the defense is spread and there's space, he's a very, very difficult guy to defend.
Are the Browns built to beat the Chiefs with that running game, keeping the ball away from the Chiefs, maybe ball control?
That's another fascinating sort of philosophical question about how to play and the ball control element of a game. No matter how much you keep the ball away from an opposing quarterback, we used to see this with Peyton Manning a lot. Teams would try to do that, and Manning might get 9 possessions instead of 11, but he'd score 5 touchdowns. And so the ball control thing is a fascinating thing. You're trying to control pace and tempo. Yes. Are you trying to give Mahomes fewer snaps? Sure. But if he scores touchdowns on four possessions or five possessions, then you've got to score touchdowns. And I actually think that their pass game, the Cleveland pass game, is a little better than people might think. It works off the run exceptionally well, but they've got a lot of really interesting concepts off the outside zone run game in the pass game that I think are very difficult to defend, because I really did a kind of a study of that this summer, and I thought they did a lot of really good things to play with the rules of second-level defenders.
Tell me what happened with Seattle with Russell Wilson last year. He goes into Indianapolis. I think this is a really intriguing matchup. I want to see what's going on with Carson Wentz. I want to see what's going on with Russell Wilson. But what did you see on tape that what did you see from Russell Wilson? Because it didn't make sense to be that brilliant in half a season and that disappointed in the second half.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that, Lance, because I think Wilson, throughout his career, and that offense throughout his career, has kind of been erratic and inconsistent. He can be absolutely special, and there's no defensive coach that will tell you that they want to be playing him in the fourth quarter in close games. Absolutely, he can be phenomenal. But if you go back through the years, they've had a lot of offensive games where they've been bad. And I think that, you know, because there's so much of an improvisational element to his game, that, you know, that's a yes and no kind of thing. You can't count on that every single week. And we know that he tends to leave the pocket too early. We know there's things he can't see. We know that he can perceive pressure. So there's elements of his game that lead to inconsistent play. And I've always wondered, I do not know Pete Carroll and I've never talked to him, but I've always wondered whether Pete Carroll's belief in the run game being the starting foundation of the offense is just a philosophy that he has and he would do that no matter who the quarterback is, or if he believes that that's the way he has to play because Russell Wilson is his quarterback. I don't know the answer to that.
That's Greg Cosell. He joins us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Senior producer, NFL Films. We'll have a lot to talk about next week after you got a week of first week films, Greg. That'll be a lot of fun. So we appreciate you being here and looking forward to it again next week.
But guys, I really appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. There's Greg Cosell right here on ESPN 97.5.
I love talking football with him. He's
unbelievable.
He actually watches these guys.
I went back and looked this summer. Every throw Dak Prescott made. I was like, wow, that's dedication.
What did you do this summer?
I played golf a lot, I think.
What did you do the spring before that?
I wouldn't watch every. I didn't even watch every throw Dak Prescott made last night. I'm not that interested.
Right. But so, did you play golf?
I did play golf yesterday.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
So you're dedicated in a way.
In a way, but different in a way. Hey, look, I know one place that I'm going to be watching. There's a few places I love to watch football, and one of them is at Damaris Barbecue. It's at 1702 West Loop. It's basically 290 and 610. You get off the 18th Street there on 610. The wing special, I like the Greek wings, okay? I'm just going to tell you, I like the fried. I think they're as good a wing. I'm a wing connoisseur. I think they're as good as anywhere, but they got baked wings as well. They've got they've got buffalo wings. They've got... They do wings right. They really do. I love their wings over at Damaris Barbecue. So they've got wing specials as well. While you're watching your professional football team over there at Damaris Barbecue, you can get your drink on and you can get your wings on. But you can get all your food on there at Damaris. You got two locations, South Shepherd near 59. It's near Alabama, actually. And you got the location at 290 and 610. You're looking for great food, barbecue, or you want something catered. They do everything. It's not just barbecue, but they do everything, and they do it unbelievably. So go to Demeris.com. That's DEMERIS.com.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.